your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Lori Gregory, Chief Brand and Product Officer for SkyMint. Lori, it's so great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. I am thrilled to be here. So excited to talk to you today.
I've been really looking forward to this and really excited to have you on. And, you know, you've been doing some really incredible stuff in the space. But more importantly, you have such an amazing and impressive, you know, branding and marketing career and, you know, spans all the way back to when you were at Bath and Body Works and Express to Stingray and Sunrise Studios. And I thought it'd be nice to kind of begin the show and talk to us a little bit about, you know, maybe that moment that you decided to really jump into the cannabis space. Like, I don't know if it was a day or a month or something you were looking at for a long time, but what was it that really made you kind of make that move?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's interesting, the journey, because I started in fashion. And then I moved into the personal care and beauty arena. And that felt like such a great transition, because in fashion, it was all about people trying on clothes. And it's like, oh, I gained 5 pounds, or, oh, I don't like how I look. It was pretty negative, right? And then moving into the personal care and beauty and wellness space, it was all about that feeling good, right? Whether it's the lipstick that you can put on and immediately gives an uplift to a woman's kind of whole perspective on her day. And it's just around all those little feel goods rituals. And for me, the journey then came through beauty, through wellness, and then obviously working with all these beauty brands and wellness brands, developing brands and products, we're always looking for that efficacious ingredient that really works topically. And when beauty started getting into inner and outer wellness, so what we put on our body is just important of what we put in our bodies, right? And that the skin is the, you know, largest organ of our body. So, you know, chasing those ingredients and obviously discovering CBD probably around 7 or 8 years ago, it kind of became on the radar of a hot ingredient, right? Certainly not in the mainstream. So that was really my kind of foray getting back into the space through CBD from a topical perspective and working with a lot of brands and products and using that and, you know, all the amazing benefits that CBD can. And I laugh because really, I think for me, that kind of foray into cannabis was, you know, I don't know if you've seen the t-shirt, CBD is the gateway drug. And for me, it was. So for me to get into cannabis, CBD was my gateway drug, and trying that and using that and the products and brands that I used, and then coming to the realization that CBD is not powerful enough without THC. And then taking into true THC, true cannabis, and leveraging that. And that was like my aha, like, okay, CBD by alone is not it. It's definitely powerful with THC. So I started experimenting with myself. I mean, I think all of us have this journey in cannabis of what we tinkered with in high school or college. And to me, I mean, having kids, and being a mom, I really snubbed it and, you know, kind of like frowned upon it. But to me, coming back to it through a wellness lens, it's like, it's amazing. To me, it's the most amazing healing plant we have out there. And I'm so passionate to be creating brands and products in the space.
That's awesome. You know, I got to say, I think, you know, you guys have been doing an amazing, amazing job at Green Peak. And I think even with SkyMint, like really turning heads in the industry of what you guys are doing in Michigan. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about, you know, the brand and really what sets you guys apart from everybody else and all the great things that you're doing to really, you know, attract and get consumers excited.
Yeah. So at GPI, yes, is a great company. I mean, we are based in Michigan. We have an amazing grow, amazing farmers. We pay living wage to our associates. And so really people that are part of our company and our brand are so passionate about cannabis, which is fabulous. a lot of the talent is some of our farmers come from cannabis, and a lot of the talent really with our company is we're attracting from all over. As you talked about earlier, that this space is really moving to more of a CPG space. And so we have really talent coming from all over, which is really exciting to be able to bring that expertise and really move this space on. So with GPI, we have a portfolio of brands that we've created for the Michigan consumer, some that we sell to our retail stores. SkyMint as a brand is our hero brand, and that's kind of our superstar and the name of our retail dispensaries. We opened our 9th one this week, so we're really excited about that.
Wow.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, it's really excited, especially in, you know, this COVID world. Who would have thought, right, in the retail arena, right, that we're launching brands, launching new products, and even launching new stores within COVID and doing successfully well. So that's been amazing.
Great to hear.
Yeah, terrific. And we're hiring. I mean, it's really amazing to be able to be in this space, to be able to have such positive news in just a really horribly sad time for our nation. So with that, GPI has many brands. SkyMint is our hero. And then we also have other brands that we're nurturing and creating in different spaces, from edibles to vapes to extracts, for different market segments, not only for our retail brands, but for also for wholesale clients as well.
Amazing. So, you know, I've got a quick question for you. Just kind of, you know, this has come up quite a bit on our series. And I think, you know, maybe during the initial, you know, phases of the pandemic, before all the states had deemed it essential, people were really freaking out, not realizing that they were going to be able to get product. And, you know, it was, all of our clients were just going crazy because they couldn't keep stuff, you know, on the shelves. And now that we've been through this over the last few months and people have been able to, you know, use delivery services and go to the store and obviously keep, you know, social distancing and all of that good stuff, have you seen things kind of level out a little bit, or is it still, have you still seen these big bumps and surges of people, you know, getting product?
You know, I think it is always that, you know, kind of the ups and downs, but I feel like the consumer shopping pattern has changed in a very short time, right? And not just in this category, but across the boat. I mean, we're so used to right now getting delivery or food delivery more than ever, or that being able to, you know, buy our favorite meal and curbside, and it kind of feels special. You just drive up and somebody comes and delivers it to you. And so that's what we found with cannabis. This curbside delivery has been amazing. Our customers have loved it. We've loved it. It's safe and it's convenient. And it's interesting because here we, you know, we've really put a lot into our retail stores. They're amazing. They're approachable, modern. They just, people continue to say, you know, I come into a SkyMint store and I just walk away feeling better. We've just kind of captured just a really unique experience in store. And so when that closed, and we were actually the first ones that closed in Michigan before everyone else, because we just were like, no, we have to close. It's too risky for the consumer. So we closed first and moved into curbside, and obviously very worried. And I was joking, I'm like, oh my gosh, here we went from a retail concept to overnight being an online brand. When does that ever happen, right? But right. Our experience in the customer journey of ordering online, picking up curbside, still having that happy smiling face there to greet you with your, you know, cannabis has been amazing. And we will continue to offer that. We are working through our opening of stores as we speak throughout the month, but we'll still continue to offer those services because the customer has fallen in love with them. And so we'll continue to offer that continuation of the brand through that.
You guys have done such an amazing job of creating this beautiful store, you know, that has, you guys have really thought about not just the design, but the experience. And I would think that a lot of customers really like coming in and seeing the product and talking to bud tenders and really, you know, connecting that way. So I think it's great that you guys obviously have been able to adapt to market conditions, and, you know, people are still excited to shop, which is fantastic. I wanted to ask you as far as medical and recreation. So I know SkyMint initially launched as a medicinal cannabis brand. Talk to us a little bit about the journey, you know, into recreation.
Yes, it's so fascinating, right? So we were planning on, Michigan was planning on going rec at the beginning of this year. And it was like a surprise, really, that the MRI passed the ruling. And so in November, we went recreational. And it was so exciting to live through that prohibition ending. And when we would convert a store from medical to recreational and to be in the store and see the customers coming in and flooding in, it was like kids in a candy store. From the 70-year-old who hadn't really smoked weed since, you know, high school to come in and go, I want to buy some weed and make those pot brownies, with the biggest smile on his face, to the woman whose grandmother is dealing with cancer and is buying edibles for her grandmother so she can sleep at night. So to me, it opens up this other demographic and this other consumer that is amazing, because it's like the health and wellness that this plant can provide is getting, you know, access to so many more people. And it's so humbling and inspiring to hear the stories, whether it's, you know, the healing ones or the, you know, very sad ones or the recovery from post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, you're so humbled by these, but then it's also the playful stories, and that it's like, oh, hee, 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 you know, it's instead of mama needs a cocktail, it's mama needs that edible, right, to get through the day. And I mean, I think our mission as a brand is to make that the new norm. And I know everyone says, oh, we're all about breaking the stigma, but it is important, right? Because it is. It's so okay in this world for a mom to sit there and go, yeah, I drank 3 bottles of wine. And everyone's like, hee, 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 that's fine. But if a woman right. stands up and says, I smoked a joint last night because I needed to sleep, there's still that stigma attached. And so I think our journey is, you know, going into this recreational market to make sure we have brands and products that resonate with everyone, whether it's the older generation and they just need to something to help them sleep, or for pain and inflammation, or for that younger generation that just, you know, it's part of their life. They love to do it. Or it's the soccer mom. So it's really interesting marketing and branding to this consumer group because it is so diverse. Our store opening this week, we had the woman who drove up in a Tesla to the crowd coming in that were college students to what I would call maybe our a couple guys, would I be like heavy users, heavy stoners, and the ability for us to be able to market and have brands and products that resonate with them all is challenging, but I love it, you know, because it allows you to just to be able to create brands and products and that unique stories for each of those consumer segments.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting also to work with so many brands out there and be exposed to so many different products that appeal to so many different people. And I kind of look at myself and, you know, I've never really been much into cannabis. I mean, you know, as a kid and here and there, but I feel like now that I'm exposed to it in so many different ways through CBD and through THC, like I love experimenting with all sorts of different products. And, you know, I think for me in particular, through the pandemic, I'm like, I can't sleep anymore. There's just, you know, between work being so crazy and just having so much on our minds, like I can't sleep. So I've kind of turned a little bit to a number of different products, which is great. And
it's amazing, you know, right? And it feels so great because we're not popping pills and
exactly
addictive, and you feel that you're doing, it's a plant. That it, you know, you can and sleep alone. I mean, for me, that's been life changing. I mean, it's the best night of sleep. You will wake up feeling rested, like, you know, you did as a little child. And it's so powerful.
And there's no hangover. It's like your normal self. You know what, Lori, I've even had, you know, my mom suffers from arthritis. And I'm like, you should really try CBD with a little THC, you know, like the 30-to-1 ratios. And so I gave her a ton of stuff to try. And she's like, I think it really works. And I'm like, yeah, it probably does. And I think for my mom, you know, who's in her mid-70s, like to actually try a product like that is pretty game changing, because I think, you know, all throughout growing up, she'd never in a million years ever even consider taking anything that had THC in it.
Yeah.
So I think we're seeing a lot of changing times for the better. And so many people are using the products, you know, for a wide, you know, array of conditions. And so I think what you guys are doing. I think everybody in the cannabis space and what you guys are doing is just so important. But you're right, right? Why is it okay for a mom to have three bottles of wine, but it's not okay for her to smoke a joint?
It doesn't. And, you know, you'll see it and like you're finding out your journey through it. I mean, coming back. And I mean, I just have so many people reaching out knowing that now I'm in the industry. What can I use for this? What, you know, my mom has that. What can I use for this? And, you know, it so feels so good to be able to share that, that kind of healing. And I hope, you know, I keep on saying, you know, in marketing, everyone's like, who's your target customer and who's your target customer? And we used to think Bath and Body Works, anybody who has skin. And I feel that way about cannabis. It's truly anybody who loves cannabis or anybody who needs cannabis. And in my mind, that's anybody who's over 21. And then again, even in under 21, right? You know, just you can even hear the stories of just amazing, right? That kids are being healed from all kinds of ailments from cannabis. So I just so passionate about getting this message out and having it be part of the new normal for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the, you know, big reasons that we launched Alchemy was really to educate the world and educate, especially in the marketing world, beyond the cannabis sector, of really what, you know, what's coming and what's here. And, you know, I definitely wanted to ask you today, you know, I think you guys have turned a lot of heads in Michigan for sure. And, you know, people look at the brand as really cool. And, you know, I think that a big part of that comes to folks like you who are, you know, marketing it and creating all these strategies. So I'm just curious if you guys plan to grow, you know, the brand outside of Michigan, like nationally in other states?
Yes, we do. I can't say anything particular about our plans, but absolutely. And that is our mission, to go beyond Michigan. We do feel, you know, again, our first goal was to win in Michigan and really create a brand that would resonate. And we feel that it has. I mean, I feel like our brand ethos is all about happy people making happy plants, which then in turn make happy people. And it sounds so simple, but it's so true of what we put into the craft of how we farm and the quality of the products that we're putting. And really at the end of the day, we want people to feel good. And, you know, it's our brand's approachable and, like you said, kind of modern and cool. And we feel like our stores could easily resonate on the West Coast, in New York City, in Austin, Texas. So, yes, we have big, big plans. But for now, we're nurturing Michigan, our stores in Michigan, really well. We'll have 20 here shortly. We're excited about, we're opening one in Hazel Park, which will be great and service the whole Metro Detroit and Detroit area. That Detroit is a really important destination for us. In fact, we're aligning ourselves with a lot of, you know, influencers and consumers there that we just can't wait to serve. And at the same time, nurturing brands that we could see launching in Michigan and then expanding nationwide. In fact, we just launched two exciting brands, my two babies. I'm so excited. One is an edible brand, which is called Jolly Edibles. And we just launched it this month. We partnered with Shorts. Shorts is a brewing company that has a lot of legacy in Michigan, extremely creative craft beers. And so we've partnered with them that the edibles, they don't have beer in them, but they have the flavor inspiration, the hops and all the unique flavors in the beer in these edibles, and they are amazing. So they launched this week, and our tagline is happiness with benefits. And it's true, right? That these, you know, edibles, again, whether you take them for sleep or for fun, they're so delicious. So we're excited about that. And we see that edible brand, again, starting in Michigan, but absolutely being able to be marketed across the United States, as well as a flower brand. We are excited to launch a brand called Two Joints, which is really a passion project for GPI and SkyMint. It's really interesting, right, that cannabis has been deemed essential. But meanwhile, you have so many people behind bars that have literally had as little as two joints on them. So hence the name Two Joints. Because literally in the 60s in Michigan, there was a very famous case of a man who literally was put into jail for two joints. So part of this branding of this brand. It's really cool, modern, and hip, and really resonates, I think, with the younger demographic. But it's the whole idea of, you know, what would you do with two joints, and how do we, you know, give back? We're so lucky to be working in this industry, but at the same time, people are literally in jail. So we've launched this brand in partnership with Last Prisoner Project, which is an amazing organization that I discovered that is doing amazing work in this space and actively working in the social and racial injustice that's happening and helping to get people out that are basically nonviolent cannabis offenders. And it feels really good to be launching a brand, but in partnership with a great giving back piece. And we're really working hard on some particular cases of getting people out and funding that widely. So not only they can get out of jail, but then they could have this, the agency also funds initiatives and projects for them so they can get out and start living their life in a better way.
It's great. Really great job there. Well, listen, I think, you know, just listening to all the different products that you guys are launching, obviously it's been nonstop for you guys. And, you know, when you were just saying, you know, delicious gummies, I think that's dangerous, right? I've tasted some gummies that are just so damn good that it's hard to just eat one.
It is. And it's interesting, you know, it's getting more sophisticated at this industry. And I say it's a lot like, you know, beer. Remember the beer? It was like, oh, you know, you'd have your basic flavors and now it's so sophisticated. And that's the way that cannabis is, right? Sure. These edibles are off the chart. In fact, my favorite day is when we can test edibles, and we did last week, and just so creative. I'm so excited about what's in the pipeline for Jolly Edibles. Amazing, sophisticated, unique flavors that literally it's just an experience in your mouth. And I think that's kind of what you're saying. We're moving to microdosing so you can sit, like if you're watching TV or you're hanging out with friends and they're yummy, right? So you do want to eat more. So we're starting to microdose and have smaller doses. So you could start slow, do another one and do another one because they are so delicious. You definitely want more than one.
Well, yeah, I think the flavor profiles today of some of the extracts that are in there, like real fruit and real flavors that are, they're tantalizing actually, if you think about it. And they're just, they kind of, some of these just, they just explode in your mouth with flavor. So it's really nice because it's not candy, but it is, you know?
It is. It's candy, haha, for the adults. And I think edibles in general, when we're talking about the recreational space, you know, I think edibles is a lot like vapes where it's a discreet way to consume. And then I think with COVID, with the vaping, some consumers got scared, right? So I think we're seeing an uptick in edibles because of that, because it seemed like a more of a safer, it's very discreet, right? It doesn't smell. You can kind of, you know, microdose with it. So I think edibles is definitely here to stay and eventually be more giftable. I mean, what I love about this category is I want to see where it becomes a gift that you would be proud to give. I mean, I'm starting to see that where, you know, I came like a Christmas party and I came, my gifts were cannabis gifts. And of course I, you know, packaged them beautifully with ribbons and botanicals on the outside. And that was the gifts that everybody was stealing from everybody else.
Okay. Well, Lori, listen, you could come over for dinner or for barbecues all summer long.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, Lori, you know, if you've listened to the show before, we talk a little bit about business at the beginning, but then we end the show with some quick fire questions. All about you. Are you ready?
Okay.
So first question, are you good at cooking?
I can be when it's not a chore. I love doing it when it's fun, but when I have to cook a meal for my kids, no.
Okay. What about like, you know, for you and friends?
Yes.
What's your favorite dish to make?
Oh my gosh. It's always breakfast. Burritos. It's actually Breakfast of Burritos that was inspired by a place in Nasara in Costa Rica, actually. And the salsa, the avocado, the cilantro, the black bean, breakfast burritos.
I love that. Again, I will then, you know what? I'm coming over to your house for breakfast too. let's, you know, while we're talking about food, what's the worst thing that you've ever eaten out of politeness? So were you ever served something that you really didn't want to eat, but you ate?
Yes. And it goes back to my grandfather. In fact, my grandfather was an amazing man and he wanted everybody to go for it in life. In fact, we talk about like his, what he instilled in all of myself and my family and my siblings. But anyway, he believed that you should never say no or judge somebody when until you try something. So his thing was pig's feet. And it was so awful. I remember feeling so bad because I didn't want to like let him down. Like, really? He's like, yeah, how do you know if you don't like them until you try it? So I remember that story very well.
I think you should always try things until, you know, you actually eat it and say, you know what, not.
Yes, exactly. That was his attitude for sure.
Because I love all different types of foods. I'm always serving like fancy stuff and caviar. And I just like being, I like exotic stuff, but she will not touch it. And I'm like, well, just try it. No, I don't like it. I'm like, well, how do you know if you don't like it? Because you haven't tried it. Just try it. And then if you don't like it, then I won't ask you again. You gotta explore, right? Okay. What's the coolest animal you've ever seen in the wild?
Oh, wow. Okay. Off the top of my head, this black squirrel that's in my backyard. It might not be very exotic, but I'm telling you, I'm staying at a little Airbnb and it's this all black squirrel. It's amazing.
Does he fly?
No, he hasn't flown yet, but you know what? Maybe if I put some edibles out, he will.
What's the funniest thing you've ever seen a kid do?
Oh my God. Everything, right? Everything they do. I think those things about my son, I have to say that his joy was dancing. So to me, I mean, dancing naked, it's what we all live for, right? I mean, to be as an adult, to be able to just move and shake your body naked, right? And my son would do that all the time. So it was such, brings such joy.
Okay. So here's your last question. And I haven't asked anybody this question yet. And just thinking about the question makes me laugh.
Oh, God. Okay.
No, it's a great question. It brings back so many fond memories that I have in my lifetime. But for you, when was the most inappropriate time that you actually busted out in laughter? You must have had a few of these during your life.
Yes, of course. I would have to say I was raised Catholic. So I would have to say in church.
I just have so many, like, I have so many memories of being in school where it was very serious. And, you know, I remember looking at a friend and we started laughing and it became contagious to the point where it's like, we couldn't keep it in. I was crying. No. And the teacher, because there's something you'd like to share, Jeff. And I'm like, no, there's nothing. I don't know why I'm laughing, but, and I just like, I still remember that day and I was crying.
It was
funny.
And for me, I think it was always in church because, again, it was always, and it's still to this day, we laugh because I'll go and still do church once a year just for my, you know, parents. And we always end up, there's something that the priest says or something that, and I go back to that little girl and start laughing. But that to me, where cannabis, and I think that I've been able to, especially with our Citrix, we have one strain that is absolutely my favorite, and I want you to try it, and it's called Citrix. And to me, that is my giggle place, and it's so fun to be able to smoke it with friends and smoke it even by myself. And I get into that space where I'm just laughing and giggling and feeling lighthearted. And I think that's so important right now. Everything is so heavy and so sad and so destructive. And we have to obviously be mindful and engage there and give back and do all the right things. But we also have to like let go and still have fun, that it's okay to be human and laugh and giggle. And to me, the Citrix has been such a lifesaver to get into that playful childhood spirit. I think we all need that today.
I agree. Well, Lori, listen, it's been really fantastic having you on and laughing with you too. And listen, congrats on, you know, everything that you guys have done, everything you guys are opening and launching, and, you know, we'll be continuing to watch your brand grow and be there right alongside you. So really appreciate you coming on.
Sure. It was my joy. Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.